It was the cruelest of all times. One of Jesus' 12 chosen apostles, Judas, betrayed him for money. Another apostle, Peter, fulfilled Jesus' prophecy by denying him three times. His Jewish brothers chose to release a murderer and robber, that is Barabbas, instead of the completely innocent Son of God. And after Pilate declared his innocence of Jesus' blood, our Lord was scourged. And that means he was beaten unmercifully. In mockery, the soldiers stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, put a crown of thorns on his head, put a reed in his hand, bowed before him in mock worship, spat on him, and struck him on the head with the reed. At 9 a.m., he was led to Golgotha, where he was crucified on a cross between two thieves who also mocked him. He was blasphemed by the people. He was taunted by the chief priest and the scribes. And the soldiers cast lots for a portion of his seamless robe. And then something eerily haunting occurred. In the heat of the day, in the land of Palestine, from noon until 3 p.m., there was complete darkness over the whole land. And when God had to turn his face away from his son because he was bearing the sins of all mankind, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When the end had come, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. We're told that the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. The graves of many of the saints who had died opened up and they were raised from the dead. After Jesus' resurrection, those resurrected saints went into the city of Jerusalem and appeared to many witnesses. And even the Roman centurion knew that all of this was the working of God and declared, "Truly, this was the Son of God." When Jesus cried out with a loud voice, what did he say? Actually, he said just one word, teleo, a word meaning finished or ended. The papyri throw great light on this word. For instance, if a promissory note were paid, the one holding the note wrote teleo across it. It was finished. It was completed. A deed to property was not put in effect until it was dated and signed. And when this was done, the clerk wrote teleo across it. Another example of its use was when a father sent his son on a mission. The son was not to return until he had performed the last act of the mission. And when he did return, excuse me, when he did return from a successful mission, he used teleo to report it. It is finished. But what was finished? We know that Jesus' life was finished after he uttered this word. But that is not all that Jesus meant by this word. One writer put it this way, that in eternity the Son gave the Father a promissory note that he would pay the price for humanity's redemption. And on Calvary, the note was paid in full. Teleo. The Son reported his completed mission to the Father. Teleo. And perhaps when the waiting host in heaven heard of the completed work of Jesus, heaven rang with that word. Teleo. Finished. Ended. Completed. And the Father smiled his approval. In the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through verse 10, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Certainly, Jesus' very purpose for coming to earth was to do everything that his Father commanded him to do. And he did so. He finished it. He completed it. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." And that's what Jesus did as he died on the cross. He fulfilled everything, every prophecy about him. He fulfilled it from the law and the prophets. And therefore, the old law was done away with on the cross. Because he did fulfill, because he did finish, because he did complete it. So Jesus finished everything his Father sent him to do. When Jesus emptied himself and voluntarily came to earth in the flesh of man, he had that one purpose in mind: to fulfill everything that the Father told him to do. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, when his disciples were concerned about Jesus not having anything to eat, he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish or complete his work." Although he was God in the flesh, Jesus completely submitted himself to his heavenly Father. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Certainly that should be our theme as well in life, that we're here not to do our own will, but to do God's will, even as Jesus Christ did. Doing the will of God was not confined to Jesus. When we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we made a contract for life, if you please, a contract that would last until the very day that we die. In John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now notice in verse 12, he says to them who he gave the right to become a child of God. Believing in God is all important, but it does not put us into a right relationship with Jesus Christ until we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. But he says he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. I wonder, are we doing the will of God? Do we recognize that as our primary purpose for being here? Are we finishing the things that God put us on this earth to do? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, the Great Commission, our Lord said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Certainly that was a command for those who were the apostles at that time and also those who were followers of Jesus at that time, but it was not confined to them. It's also a commandment for you and for me that, and it says, as you are going, make disciples of all the nations. Take every opportunity that you have to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. And it may be in small ways. It may be in ways that you just encourage someone to read the Bible when they have a biblical question for you. You might say, turn to such and such a passage. Well, that obviously means that you have to know where those passages are, though. It may be that you hand someone a tract. It may be that you just encourage someone during very difficult times and then take advantage of the opportunity to share Jesus with them later. We are to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Paul expressed the sentiments of Jesus when he was near the end of his life. He said, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." I hope and I pray that I can say that at my time of departure from this earth, that I have fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. And I hope that you can too. That's our goal. That's why we are here this morning, to encourage one another to live a godly life so that we can have that eternal home with God in heaven. I thought it was interesting to look at the book of Revelation and some of the churches that Jesus had something to say about in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 25 to the church in Thyatira. He said, "Hold fast what you have until I come." Don't quit. Don't give up. But keep on moving forward. Hold fast what you have. To the church in Sardis, Jesus said, "Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God." And I think he'd say the same thing for us, wouldn't he? Our works have not been completed. Our works have not been perfected. We are put on this earth to do the will of God, and we are to accomplish that until the day that we die. To the church in Philadelphia, Jesus said, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." We are to persevere no matter what happens. And I know that we're living in a difficult time in our nation, at least difficult from the perspective of what is going on in our society and in politics and so forth. But we don't have the problems that even the first century church had, as many of them were being persecuted. Many of them lost their lives in serving God. But he says, even to them, he says, keep on, persevere. Hold fast so that no one may take your crown. Well, isn't that the message that God gives to us today? Keep on keeping on. I appreciate the songs that Gary selected. There was one that I had that I wanted to share with you, one that's always been meaningful to me and I think to all of us. I didn't get all that done. Sorry, I got behind. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when the sun refused to shine? It is finished. Christ said, his work was completed. The work that God had given him to do. But our work is not done. We cannot say it is finished until the last breath that we take. And then hopefully, rightfully, we can say to our Father, it is finished. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, whether to become a Christian or to ask for the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever your need may be, won't you come while we stand and sing?